A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
The average new parent spends more on baby gear in the first year than the median household spends on groceries. And the top end of the market now produces a bassinet that costs more than a used Honda Civic and pushes firmware updates to a sleeping infant. Daniel's been staring into this particular abyss. He's got a countdown for us of the most ridiculously over-engineered baby products on the market, and he's very specific about what he wants and doesn't want. This isn't a takedown. The premise is that baby gear is the most efficient anxiety-to-money conversion machine ever built, and the top end has escaped gravity entirely. He wants real products, real prices, real specifications. Where something genuinely works, say so. Because over-engineering isn't uselessness, and the most interesting entries are the ones that are both absurd and, on the numbers, actually rather good. The joke is the collision between real engineering competence and a customer who hasn't slept in 4 months and will buy literally anything that promises otherwise. Nobody in this story is stupid. The engineers are good at their jobs. The marketers understand their buyer perfectly. And the buyer is making a completely rational decision at 3 a.m. Play it straight. Assess each product on its technical merits as though reviewing industrial equipment. That's the entire brief.
The thing I love about this framing, and I think it's exactly right, is that it sidesteps the lazy version of this conversation, the version where you just point at expensive baby stuff and laugh. Because the engineering in some of these products is sophisticated. I retired from pediatrics, I've seen what parents buy, and the reflex to mock is, it misses what's actually interesting.
The reflex to mock is cheap. And also wrong. What's interesting is the mechanism. Parental anxiety is a perfect market. Infinite willingness to pay, zero price sensitivity at 3 a.m, and a product category where does it work is secondary to does it promise safety. The top end has just detached. Prices that exceed used cars, financed like cars, marketed in the exact vocabulary of performance cycling. Carbon fiber, adaptive suspension, four-figure price tags. It's not a market for baby products anymore. It's a market for certainty, and certainty is priced accordingly.
And the distinction Daniel's drawing, over-engineering versus uselessness, that's the whole thing. The most interesting products in this category aren't scams. They're not snake oil. They're well-engineered devices that solve real problems, just problems that mostly exist in the marketing. The gap between the engineering and the need is where the money is made, and the buyer isn't stupid. At 3 a.m. with a screaming infant, the expected value of a $1,500 bassinet that might buy you an extra hour of sleep is positive. That's a rational calculation.
So let's start at the bottom of the escalation ladder. The products that are merely absurd, before we get to the ones that are unhinged.
Entry number 1. The nappy bin engineered like biohazard containment. These things have multi-layer sealing mechanisms, proprietary bag systems, carbon filters, what the manufacturers call odor lock technology. The engineering is real. They contain odor better than a standard bin. The mechanism is a series of twisting seals that isolate each nappy in its own compartment wrapped in a film that's been treated with activated carbon. You can have a week's worth of soiled nappies in a nursery and the room doesn't smell.
And the price point?
The leading brand, the Tommy Tippy Twist and Click, runs about 30 to 40 pounds for the bin, but the real cost is the proprietary refill cassettes. Those run about 6 pounds each and last maybe a month. Over 2 years, you're spending more on the cassettes than the bin. There are off-brand refills, but the mechanism is designed to make them slightly incompatible. The film gauge is just different enough that third-party cassettes jam. That's not an accident. That's deliberate engineering of the revenue model.
So the bin itself is a loss leader for a recurring consumable. It's the razor and blades model applied to. Feces containment.
And the thing is, a 20-pound bin with a lid also works. It doesn't work as well. You'll smell it sooner, you'll take the bin out more often. But the problem being solved here's not, how do we contain odor? The problem being solved is, how do we make a bin feel like a medical device? The multi-layer seal, the carbon filter, the proprietary cassette, it's biohazard containment theater. The engineering is real, but it's solving a problem that a bin with a lid and a slightly more frequent emptying schedule also solves.
The over-engineering is in the redundancy, not the function.
Right. A bin with a lid contains odor. This bin contains odor with a multi-stage sealing mechanism that isolates each nappy individually. The second stage doesn't add function. It adds the feeling of function. And that feeling is what you're paying for.
Entry 2. The bottle preparation machine with an app.
The Baby Brezza Formula Pro Advanced. This is a countertop appliance that stores powdered formula, mixes it with water at a precisely controlled temperature, and dispenses a ready-to-feed bottle at the push of a button. Temperature control to the degree, formula dispensing measured to the gram, Wi-Fi connectivity, a companion app that tracks feeding schedules, volumes, and timing. The engineering is real. It produces a perfectly consistent bottle every time, at exactly body temperature with no clumps, no measuring, no waiting for a bottle warmer. If you've ever made a bottle at 3 in the morning with a screaming baby in one arm, you understand the appeal instantly.
Price?
About $200. The app is free, but the machine pushes firmware updates. A bottle preparation machine that receives software updates over Wi-Fi. The release notes for version 2.4 included improved formula dispensing algorithm for reduced clumping. That's a real sentence that describes a real thing that exists in the world.
The algorithm for dispensing milk powder has been patched.
And the patch improved clumping, which, to be fair, it probably did. The engineering problem of dispensing a fine powder consistently, mixing it with water at a precise ratio, and delivering it at an exact temperature. That's a non-trivial engineering problem. Powdered formula is hydroscopic. It clumps, it bridges in the hopper. The density varies by brand and even by batch. Solving that with a sensor array and a dispensing algorithm is impressive. The absurdity isn't that the engineering is bad. The absurdity is that the engineering exists at all. That someone looked at the problem of mixing powder and water and thought, this needs a firmware update cycle.
The app is what gets me. The feeding tracker. It logs every bottle, volume, time, and produces charts. You can export the data. The data has no medical utility. A healthy infant's feeding patterns aren't actionable data. They're just data. But the app converts feeding into a quantified metric, and quantified metrics create the illusion of control. The machine doesn't just make a bottle. It tells you that you're doing parenting correctly, in graph form.
And that's the mechanism across all of these. The marketing sells certainty. The engineering delivers capability. The gap between the two is where the money is made. The bottle machine makes a perfect bottle. The app tracks feeding. But the need being served is not, I need a perfect bottle. It's, I need to feel like I'm not failing at this. The bottle is just the delivery mechanism for the feeling.
Now we move from products that over-engineer a simple task to products that turn a simple task into a medical monitoring exercise.
The Owlet Dream Sock. This is a sock-mounted pulse oximeter for infants. It wraps around the baby's foot and uses, this is real, infrared light to measure oxygen saturation and heart rate continuously through the skin. The engineering is sophisticated. Pulse oximetry through a moving infant's foot is a hard signal processing problem. The sensor has to filter out motion artifacts, maintain skin contact without being tight enough to restrict circulation, and transmit data reliably to a base station. The base station glows green when readings are normal and alarms if oxygen saturation drops below a threshold or heart rate falls outside a preset range. It also sends alerts to your phone. Price is about $300.
And this is a medical device.
Well, that's the key detail. The FDA issued a warning letter. The Owlet Dream Sock is a medical device being sold as a lifestyle product. The company initially marketed it as a baby monitor with peace of mind. Benefits, but pulse oximetry is a regulated medical function. You can't sell a device that measures blood oxygen saturation and claim it's not a medical device. The measurement itself is the regulated activity. The FDA's position is that if you're providing clinical-grade biometric data to parents, you're making a medical claim whether you use the word medical or not.
So the regulatory reality caught up with the marketing.
And here's where it gets complicated, because the device does work. It does detect real desaturation events. There are documented cases of the owlet alerting parents to dangerously low oxygen levels in infants who appeared to be sleeping normally. The engineering isn't fake. The pulse oximetry is real. The alarm system is real. The problem is that it's marketed to parents who aren't managing a medical condition. It converts ambient parental anxiety into a constant stream of biometric data. You go from, is the baby okay, to checking an oxygen saturation trend line on your phone at 2 in the morning. The device doesn't reduce anxiety, it gives anxiety a dashboard.
And a false alarm at 3 in the morning is its own kind of harm. The sock slips, the reading drops, the alarm goes off. You're now in an emergency room with a perfectly healthy infant who has a loose sock.
The false positive rate on these devices isn't zero, and the consequences of a false positive aren't zero either. Unnecessary emergency department visits, unnecessary testing, parental panic. The device sells certainty and delivers data. Those aren't the same thing. Data without clinical context is just noise. And parents aren't trained to interpret pulse oximetry trends, they're trained to panic when an alarm goes off.
The engineering is real. The problem it solves is real in a clinical setting. But the application is, it's like selling a blood pressure cuff as a lifestyle accessory. The cuff works. The readings are accurate. But what are you supposed to do with the information?
That's the question the FDA asked, essentially. And the answer was, you're supposed to feel better. Which isn't a medical claim, but it's a marketing claim. And the FDA's position is that you don't get to separate the two when the mechanism is medical-grade biometric monitoring.
And if a sock that monitors your baby's oxygen saturation is the warm-up, the main event is a bassinet that pushes firmware updates.
Entry 4. This new smart sleeper. This is the flagship of the entire category. Designed by a pediatrician, Dr. Harvey Karp, the happiest baby on the block. Author. The Snoo is a bassinet with responsive motion sensing, white noise generation, and a swaddle-based restraint system. The baby sleeps in a proprietary swaddle that clips into the sides of the bassinet, which means the baby can't roll over. The bassinet has microphones and motion sensors that detect crying and restlessness. When it detects fussing, it increases the rocking motion and white noise volume in stages. If the baby continues to cry, it escalates further. If the baby still doesn't settle, it stops and sends an alert to the parent's phone, the implication being that the baby needs something the machine can't provide. Price,
$1,500. $1,500 for a bassinet you use for 6 months.
6 months, and then it's done. The baby outgrows it. But at 3 in the morning, amortized over the potential of extra sleep, that calculation looks very different. And the Snoo does work. The engineering is sophisticated. The motion response algorithm is tuned to detect the difference between active sleep and distressed crying. The white noise is calibrated to safe decibel levels. The swaddle restraint prevents rolling, which is a real SIDS reduction measure. Supine sleep is safer, and the Snoo enforces supine sleep mechanically. There are published studies showing the Snoo reduces parental sleep disruption. The product delivers.
And the FDA warning letter.
The FDA issued a warning letter here too. The Snoo is a device that physically restrains an infant and adjusts its behavior based on sensor data. That's a medical device under the FDA's definition. The swaddle clips prevent the baby from moving, and the motion response is an automated intervention based on biometric monitoring. Crying is a biometric signal. The FDA's position is that you're making a medical claim when you say the device reduces the risk of SIDS, and if you're making a medical claim, you need FDA clearance. The company's response was essentially that the Snoo is a consumer product, not a medical device. The FDA disagreed.
The firmware update to a sleeping infant is the absurdity made literal. There's a version history for the software that controls the rocking of a bassinet. At some point, an engineer wrote a commit message that said, adjusted motion escalation curve for improved soothing in week 6 to 8 infants. That happened. Someone tested that. Someone approved the pull request.
And the update was pushed over Wi-Fi to a bassinet with a baby in it. The baby didn't consent to the terms of service. The baby can't consent to the terms of service. The baby is 6 weeks old and is now running Snoo OS version 2.1.4.
The release notes probably said, bug fixes and performance improvements.
They absolutely did. And here's the thing, the update probably did improve soothing. The engineers who worked on this aren't hacks. They're serious people solving a hard problem. Infant sleep is chaotic. The signal from the microphones is noisy. The motion response has to be fast enough to soothe, but gentle enough to be safe. Tuning that algorithm is non-trivial. The absurdity isn't that the engineering is bad. The absurdity is that we've arrived at a world where infants receive over-the-air firmware updates.
The Snoo also has a rental program. You can rent one for about $160 a month, which for 6 months is about $1,000. Less than buying, but still a four-figure line item for a bassinet. And the rental program means the company retains ownership of the device, which means they can push firmware updates to a fleet of rented bassinets in homes across the country. It's a software-as-a-service model for infant sleep.
The subscriptionification of the bassinet is already here. The Snoo app offers sleep analytics. How long the baby slept, how many times the Snoo intervened, what the soothing escalation pattern looked like. You get a sleep report every morning. Your six-week-old has KPIs.
The baby has a dashboard.
The baby has a dashboard, and the dashboard is the product. The bassinet is just the hardware that generates the data for the dashboard. The Snoo isn't a bassinet with an app. The Snoo is a data collection platform that happens to also be a bassinet.
And then there's the product that takes the performance cycling vocabulary and applies it to pushing a baby around a park.
Entry 5. The Cybex Pram. This is a pram, a stroller, for the Americans listening, with a carbon fiber chassis, adaptive suspension, and a four-figure price tag. The base model starts around $1,000 and the full travel system with the carry cot, the car seat, the adapters, the foot muff. You can push 2,000 without trying. The marketing vocabulary is lifted directly from performance cycling. Carbon fiber frame for reduced weight and improved stiffness to weight ratio. Adaptive suspension with terrain responsive damping. Aerodynamic canopy design. The canopy isn't aerodynamic in any meaningful sense. The pram isn't moving fast enough for aerodynamics to matter. But the word is there, and it does work on the buyer.
The engineering is real, though. Carbon fiber is lighter than aluminium. The adaptive suspension smooths out bumps. The thing is pleasant to push. I've pushed one. Daniel and Hannah have the Priam, or a version of it, and it's nice. It tracks straight. It turns smoothly. It absorbs cobblestones in a way that a 200-pound pram does not.
The weight saving is real, too. The carbon fiber chassis is about 30% lighter than the equivalent aluminium frame. When you're lifting a pram into a car boot one-handed with a baby in the other arm, that weight saving matters. It's not imaginary. The engineering delivers. The absurdity is that the performance envelope exceeds the use case by an order of magnitude. No parent is racing their pram. The stiffness to weight ratio of the chassis is irrelevant at walking speed. The adaptive suspension is responding to terrain variations that a baby in a 200-pound pram wouldn't notice anyway. The baby doesn't care about ride quality. The baby cares about whether it's moving, and whether it's moving is a binary state.
But the parent cares about ride quality. Or rather, the parent has been told to care about ride quality by a marketing department that understands that the target demographic for a $1,000 pram is people who already own a carbon fiber road bike and understand what stiffness to weight ratio means. The marketing isn't lying. The pram is lighter and smoother. The marketing is just translating pram features into the vocabulary of a different product category entirely, because that vocabulary carries the price tag.
The escalation spiral is the knock-on effect that matters here. Each product raises the baseline of what good parenting means. The Snoo makes a normal bassinet feel negligent. The Owlet makes a normal night feel unmonitored. The carbon fiber pram makes a normal pram feel like a compromise. The products don't just sell themselves. They manufacture the anxiety they then sell the solution to. You didn't know you needed adaptive suspension on your pram until you read the phrase adaptive suspension in the product description. Now a pram without it feels like you're pushing the baby around in a wheelbarrow.
And the mechanism compounds. You buy the Snoo, and now you're in the ecosystem. You have the app. You're getting sleep reports. You're looking at data. The next product that offers data feels like a natural extension. The Owlet sort plugs into the same mental framework. Quantified parenting, metrics, dashboards, alerts. The carbon fiber pram doesn't have an app yet, but give it 18 months. There will be a pram with a companion app that tracks distance walked, calories burned, route mapping, and ride quality metrics from the suspension sensors. The hardware is already instrumented enough to generate the data. The app is just the software layer on top.
The rational 3A buyer is the framing that makes this whole thing coherent. At 3 in the morning, with a screaming infant, the expected value of a $1,500 bassinet that might buy an extra hour of sleep is positive. Sleep deprivation is a form of cognitive impairment. Decision-making under sleep deprivation isn't the same as decision-making under normal conditions. The buyer isn't stupid. They're making a rational calculation with a discount rate that's effectively infinite, because the cost of not sleeping is paid immediately, and the cost of the bassinet is paid over 12 months of zero-interest financing. The marketers know this. The engineers know this. The system works exactly as designed.
The financing is part of the product. The Snoo is available on Affirm. The Cyvex Priam is available on Klarna. You don't pay $1,500. You pay $42 a month. $42 a month for sleep. That's not a pram payment. That's a subscription to the feeling of being a good parent. And the subscription auto-renews, because the next product is already positioned as the logical upgrade.
The genuine merit is what makes this funny rather than sad. If these products were useless, the story would be simple: rich people buying expensive junk. But they're not useless. The Snoo does soothe babies. The outlet does detect real desaturation events. The carbon fiber pram is pleasant to push. The bottle machine does make a perfect bottle. The nappy bin does contain odor. The tragedy isn't that they're useless. It's that they're excellent solutions to problems that mostly exist in the marketing. The engineering is real. The capability is real. The need is carefully, expertly, empathetically constructed, but constructed.
The empathy is the part that's easy to miss. The marketers aren't cynical manipulators in this story. They understand their buyer perfectly because they're their buyer. The person writing the copy for the Snoo website has been up at 3 in the morning with a screaming infant. They know exactly what that feels like. They're selling the thing they wish they'd had. The empathy is genuine, and that's what makes the mechanism so powerful. It's not a con, it's a mirror.
Before we wrap, Hilbert has been making a face for the last 10 minutes. You worked in this industry, didn't you?
Product tester. Late 20-teens. Startup called Nimbus. They had a pram with adaptive suspension. I pushed it around a track with a weighted dummy in it, measured vibration and roll stability.
A weighted dummy.
Bag of sand with a printed face taped to it. Weighed about 9 pounds. The face was a stock photo of a smiling baby, taped on with packing tape.
And the adaptive suspension?
It was a spring. A very good spring, to be fair. German made. But the adaptive part was marketing. The suspension didn't adapt to anything. It was a fixed-rate coil spring with a damper. You could buy the same spring for about 12 pounds from a supplier in Dusseldorf. We put it in a housing and called it terrain-responsive damping.
The engineering was real, but the adaptive bit was.
A word. The spring worked. The pram rode smoothly. The vibration measurements were good, but it wasn't adaptive. It was a spring.
What happened to the company?
Went bust. They spent £40,000 on a custom vibration testing rig. Hydraulic shaker table, accelerometers, the works. Sold about 200 units. The testing rig cost more than the total revenue.
£40,000 on a shaker table for a pram.
It was a very good shaker table. I still have one of the accelerometers. Useful for checking if the washing machine is level.
You kept the accelerometer.
They were throwing everything out. Seemed a waste.
The weighted dummy with the printed face. What happened to that?
Still in a cupboard somewhere. The tape yellowed. The face peeled off after a while. For a few months, we had a faceless sand baby in the break room. Nobody wanted to throw it out. Felt wrong.
That's haunting.
The engineers were good. The spring was good. The pram was good. Just nobody needed a pram with a vibration testing rig behind it. The market wanted a story, not a spring. We had a spring.
The story was adaptive.
The story was adaptive. The spring was 12 pounds.
The misconception that most people bring to this topic is that over-engineered baby products are useless. They're not. The Snoo does soothe babies, the outlet does detect real desaturation events, the carbon fiber pram is lighter and smoother. The absurdity is the gap between the engineering and the need, not the engineering itself.
The second misconception, that the parents buying these are gullible. They're not. They're making rational decisions under conditions of extreme sleep deprivation and information asymmetry. The system is calibrated perfectly. The products work. That's the punchline.
The open question is where the escalation ends. The SNU is a bassinet with firmware. The next step is a bassinet with a subscription, and that's already happening with the rental program and the sleep analytics. The category is moving toward recurring revenue models for infant sleep data. What does the 10-year version of this look like? A cot that tracks sleep stages and sells the data to a mattress company. A pram that logs route data and sells it to a mapping service. The hardware is already instrumented. The data is already being collected. The business model is already shifting from products to platforms.
The joke isn't that parents are stupid. The joke is that the system is perfectly calibrated. Real engineering, real marketing, real anxiety, real money. The products work. That's the punchline.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing and for the 12-pound spring that definitely wasn't adaptive.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.